Welcome everybody to this retreat of 2000 here in Perth. And now everyone is settled in. We had something to eat, had all the the duties explained to you. Now I'd like to explain your duties as far as your meditation is concerned in this retreat that I'm aiming for something very special, and that's for each one of you to experience some of the deep stillness of the mind and to enjoy that peacefulness, to get very, very close to the jhanas, if not enter into them, because that's going to be something which will give you another aspect of reality, a deeper understanding of the Buddha's teachings. We're just really going to aim for the very highest in this retreat. And by aiming for the very highest, that we can get a lot further than we usually get. But in order to reach such sublime states of mind, which is really what meditation is all about, we have to have supporting conditions. And those supporting conditions are provided by this center here. It means that we have very few duties while we're here. We have a couple of duties, whether it's helping clean up or whatever, but that's just minuscule compared to what we have to do in the world. However, the most important thing is that we don't disturb the supporting conditions which we have here. By disturbing the supporting conditions, I mean by reaching out into the world, reaching out into the company of others, into talking, into associating. Here you may look upon this as a monastery. It is a monastery, and the word monastery comes from the word like Muni. It's the Pali word for a sage, which comes from like the solitary one, the person who just abides alone. And here in this retreat, I want each one of you to abide alone. Alone means just inside oneself, putting all the attention on one's meditation, putting all one's attention on calming the mind. To be able to put all one's attention on calming the mind, first of all, we have to calm the body. We have to calm the speech. In Buddhism, the Buddha taught about the two developments, the two cultivations. He called it kaya bhavana and citta bhavana. Kaya bhavana is the cultivation of the body in calmness, in stillness, in serenity. And the citta bhavana is the cultivation of the mind in stillness, in serenity. And this is what we're doing here, cultivating both. In order to cultivate the body, that we have precepts which are obligatory on this retreat. This is going to be quite a deep retreat. In order to keep the standard very deep and very profound for everybody, that it means that we do have to abide by these rules. And those rules are the 8 precepts plus 1, what I call the 9 precepts. Those precepts are to restrain, abstain from killing any living being, even a mosquito. Not to harm any being, but to keep that sense of harmlessness. Not to steal, take what's not yours, which means that we just eat in the kitchen what's given to us. We don't go raiding the larder at night time or in the afternoon. And we are completely abstaining from any form of sexuality, which means that we don't touch each other, we don't shake hands or hug each other. But here we're just people. There's no men, there's no women, just people. And so here that we're not emphasizing any sexuality, any gender difference whatsoever. And the 4th precept is not to use wrong speech, not to lie. The 5th precept is no alcohol or non-medicinal drugs. if you have some drugs which are prescribed by the doctor, some tablets that you have to take because of your heart condition or whatever, then those are obviously allowable on this retreat. What I'm talking about is no alcohol or drugs like marijuana, cocaine, heroin, those sorts of things. And the sixth precept is not to eat in the afternoon. What that means is that we have breakfast, and we have a meal just before noon, and after that we don't have any solid food whatsoever, which means that we can, I allow people on retreat to take milk, tea, coffee, cocoa, things like that, but nothing solid, no sort of bread or biscuits or sandwiches, unless you have special permission. I know there's one or two people who have that special permission because they're having to take some medicinal drugs prescribed by their doctor, which they need to take a slice of bread or a biscuit in the afternoon in order that the drug doesn't harm their stomach. So I've given those people permission. If you haven't been given permission by me, then you should not take anything solid in the afternoon or the evening or night time or early morning before dawn. We do this for the sake of simplicity. It means that on this retreat you're not going to be exerting yourself physically. You're not going to be breaking rocks or pushing great heavy weights. You don't need so much food on a retreat like this. All you're going to be doing is doing a little bit of walking, a little bit of sitting. That's all. So you don't need too much energy when your car's not going to be running up and down hills. And so we just eat in the morning time. And in order to cultivate that simplicity, the seventh precept is we don't wear any jewelry, any cosmetics. In other words, we're not emphasizing the beauty of the body. Nor are we going to be listening to music or singing to ourselves, watching TVs. No entertainments. Because really in meditation you don't need any entertainments. Just the mind, the peace of the mind, the stillness of the mind will give you all the joy and happiness you could ever desire. So instead of looking out there in the world for one's happiness, we're actually finding that happiness right inside of ourselves, in the moment, with what you have, not looking to distract oneself. And the eighth precept is not to use luxurious furnishings. And here, in this retreat, we've just got simple furnishings. Can use the bed supplied if you want, they're not luxurious. By luxurious we mean things like four-poster bed, queen beds, water beds, and those things which are deemed to be luxurious and extravagant in the world. Here the furnishings are very simple, the chairs are simple, so use those furnishings which you have here, you'll be within your precepts. And the ninth precept is perhaps the most important one on a retreat like this, which is that no talking. It's keeping noble silence. And on retreats, which I've read before, sometimes people have broken that precept. And I want everyone to try and help out, to try and maintain that external silence. And the way to help out, because the monks aren't policemen, we're not going to go around checking on you. The way to please help out that is for yourself, not to say anything to other people. This is a time for meditation, for being inside of oneself. It's not the time for talking. It's not the time for building up relationships, for meeting each other. You can do that after the retreat is finished, but now is the time just for silence, external silence. So if anyone tries to start a conversation with you, please just put your finger to your mouth and go, just to remind them of their precepts. Because if you reply back to them, then it's a conversation. So just reply back to them with a shh, to remind them they shouldn't be speaking. Obviously that sometimes there are, on rare occasions, an exception. You may be working in the kitchen and you may have to ask the manager, Bianca or Ron, about something. But if you are going to ask them something, if you are going to open your mouth and ask a question which is very important concerning the duties you have here, then please follow the following procedure. To think, first of all, what I'm about to say, is it really necessary or is it not? If you think very carefully and you decide it is necessary, then don't say anything yet, but think again. Is it really, really necessary? And if you consider after a few moments, yes, it really, really is necessary, don't say anything yet. Think a third time. Is it really, really, really necessary? And only after considering a third time, yes, it's really, really, really necessary, only then open your mouth and say in as few words as possible what you need to say. But certainly not for the sake of conversation, nor for the sake of discussing the Dhamma. Don't go into philosophical conversations with each other. Now is the time for realizing the Dhamma, not for discussing it. You'll find that if you can maintain an external silence, a quietness about you, not only will it help everyone else in this meditation retreat develop the stability of mind which is necessary for deep meditation, it will also help yourself. Because when you're not going out into the world, when you're not trying to meet with other people with words or with gestures, you find you're going into yourself and you're meeting yourself with the mind going inwards. This mind can go in two directions. You can go out there into the world, playing around, investigating, enjoying the contact with other beings, with other things. But that sort of movement of the mind never gets you anywhere, certainly never develops wisdom, certainly never develops the beautiful quiet states of mind in which the powerful wisdoms arise. All that does is just to entangle you with more business, more things to do. All of you who've come here, you all had enough stress in your life, enough business to be done, enough duties and stuff. Why make more business by getting into conversations with others? Here I want this retreat to keep strictly to silence. And if there's anyone, you tell them and they don't sort of behave, then please come and let me know, so I can sort of take them aside and just gently tell them that this is a quiet retreat and you're disturbing others. And you're doing this not out of trying to hurt the other person, but you're doing it out of love and care, out of loving kindness to the other person, trying to help them become quiet so their meditation can deepen. In some of the monasteries I stayed in as a monk, sometimes the silence was so important and was so carefully guarded that even if you walked and made too much noise, you were thrown out of the monastery. You know, the sandals which we have, we call flip-flops. Sometimes just one flip was enough to flop you out of the monastery. The abbot would just sort of say, "You're too noisy, go." He was doing that because it was a distraction to the other monks meditating there. Or if somebody was meditating, you went up to talk to them, that was really a no-no. They'd chuck you out. What do you think would happen if, while the Buddha was sitting under the Bodhi tree, somebody came and asked him about the weather? There would be no Buddha. His meditation would be destroyed. So please, this meditation is so valuable, so wonderful, so immense. Don't disturb other people. And it's not just talking. I want to make this even stricter in this monastery, to give so much freedom for people to develop deep meditation, that even when you go to your rooms, you don't bang the doors. That when you are eating your meal, you don't sort of make too much noise by clanging the cutlery on your plate. So whatever you do, you try and develop that silence around you. I was telling people recently in our group in Armidale that, again, some of the monasteries, some of the very best monasteries I've been to, are just so quiet that it's like there's no one living there. Sometimes there's 20, 30, 50 monks in these monasteries. But you go there and you can't hear a sound. It's as if it's completely deserted. And just a few months ago, some workers from Telstra, the telecommunications company in Australia, came into our monastery to do some work, and they made this terrible noise, and I complained afterwards to their boss. And they said that, well, we came into your monastery, we couldn't hear anything, we didn't think there was anyone here. That's why we didn't really pay too much attention to keeping it quiet. And I felt so much better afterwards, because I realised that I was living in a good monastery. When people were coming in, they couldn't hear a sound. And this is what I want to develop in this retreat centre. It's as if the people who come in here would think the whole place is abandoned. There's no noise, there's no sound of anybody. That is a good monastery, it's a good retreat centre. It shows that everyone is looking inside and is being mindful and caring about the space of silence which is surrounding each meditator here. Create that space of silence around you, that cocoon of peacefulness, and carry it around with you wherever you go. And don't allow anyone else to disturb that silence. If they do speak to you, just turn away and go your own way. Don't answer back. For the very most, just a reminder. And that way that we are developing this ninth precept of noble silence, it's so important to quieten the speech down, quieten the body down. It might feel a bit uncomfortable at first because it goes against the grain, but remember that that which we call the Dhamma is never found by going with the grain. You have to go what is called against the stream to find the Dhamma. When the Buddha was a few days from becoming enlightened, he wanted to find out whether he had what it takes to become a Buddha. He took his bowl and put it in the stream and made a determination that if that bowl floats against the current, then may that be a sign that he's about to become a Buddha, fully enlightened. And according to the story, the bowl did float against the stream. Not only was that a very powerful sign to the Buddha to be, but it also showed the direction which he was going. Not along the stream of the world, not with that stream of the defilements of the cravings, but going against it. You know those cravings because they've caused you so much bother in the past. They've taken you out from this moment. They've taken you out from here. They've taken you out from the mind, out there into the world. They created so much business for you. Those of you experiencing stress, difficulty, disappointment in the world, it's your fault. You've gone out into the world, you've played with fire. No wonder you get burned. Here we're not playing with fire, we're playing with the cool, the deep, the powerful mind. And so we're going inwards rather than outwards. So there's not even a need to smile at each other, or say good morning to each other, or say hello. Guard each other's space. Guard each other's silence and just pass by each other, giving each other the gift of silence, giving each other the gift of the freedom to really practice this deep meditation. So these are nine precepts which you have to take on this meditation retreat. I'll just repeat them once more. Not killing, not stealing, no sexuality at all. Not lying, not taking alcohol or non-medicinal drugs, not eating in the afternoon, not putting on adornments or getting into entertainment, using simple furnishings, and lastly, keeping silence by not speaking and by being careful with the other noises one makes. Even if one has to cough, if possible, try and walk outside and cough outside so you're not disturbing people. In order to sort of help in this retreat, we want to gently bring ourselves into the calmness of meditation. Basically, the way that meditation works, that it's not really up to you. You just sit here, put the body on your cushion as much as you can, and the meditation will happen all by itself. The more you try and push it along, the more you'll be hindering your progress. Be gentle with yourself. You don't get into deep meditation by great efforts of will. You get into deep meditation by great insights of letting go. There was one of the great monks in Thailand who died only recently, 1 or 2 years ago. He ordained as a middle-aged man, and the only teachings which he had were sit a lot, walk a lot. And that was the extent of his knowledge of Buddhism. Sit a lot, walk a lot. Sit a lot, walk a lot. And so he went to the forest after he ordained as a monk, and that's all he would do. He had a path on which he would walk for many hours. When he got tired, on whatever part of that walking meditation path he got tired, he would sit down there without a mat, without a cushion, cross his legs and sit in meditation, watching his breath, right there on the walking path. When the sitting meditation was over, he would just get up and just carry on walking. And whenever he got tired late at night, he wouldn't go to a hut. He would just lay down and sleep there, right on the walking meditation path. When he woke up in the morning, he would start walking again. This was his practice, just walking and sitting, walking a lot and sitting a lot. That monk became an arahat, fully enlightened, with great powers. It's marvellous to meet such a monk and just to see, without any deep understanding, he was following the path which automatically gives rise to these things. He didn't go around talking or discussing or philosophizing or messing around, wasting time. He just did the practice, calming the mind. When you calm the mind that much, it's obvious what happens. And when the mind becomes peaceful, insight arises. You cannot stop it. You cannot avoid it. It's the simile I give of like climbing a mountain. You might climb the mountain for the peace you find up on top of the mountain. But even if that's the reason why you climb that mountain, at every stage, at every height on that mountain, you'd always find a beautiful view. On the very top of that mountain, even if you've just gone up there for the peace, you'll always see the whole of the countryside on top of that mountain. Going up there for peace is like going up there just for the calm in your meditation. It's like looking at meditation just being samatha, just climbing up the mountain for the sake of peace. But if you think it's just samatha, that you're mistaken, because you can't just climb up the mountain for peace, you have to see the view. You have to find the insights, the deep insights, which come around from the calm, beautiful states of mind. So, just by doing a lot of sitting, a lot of walking, and not wasting your time while you're on this retreat, this is the way to develop those beautiful, peaceful states of mind. They happen naturally, whether you think you can or you can't. So please, in this retreat, just get out of the way and let it all happen. There are some skillful means which I'll be teaching during this retreat, but first of all, the skillful means which I will be teaching at the beginning is to give yourself time. Be patient. And by being patient means being gentle with yourself, especially with your body and your mind. Some of your bodies are not all that healthy because you've been abusing them, rushing them around all over the place. So give yourself enough time to sleep. As I say, that the program which you've seen, it'll be about at 4 o'clock. But getting up at 4 o'clock is optional. You can always get up earlier if you want. And I mean that because if you wake up and you feel reasonably alert, don't just look at the clock and think, hang on, I haven't slept my usual 6, 7, 8, 9, or 5, whatever usual hours you sleep. If you get up, just get up and come and sit in meditation. Sometimes you get your best meditations at 2 o'clock in the morning when no one else is around. If you get tired later on in the day, you can always go and have a rest. I'm not going to be checking you to see whether, you know, you're here at 4:30 or you're here at 5 o'clock. In fact, that I trust each one of you here enough to say that if you don't want to come at all, just sit meditation in your room. Because this is your time, you pay for this. You know what you're here for. You're not sort of babies in the meditation path. If you find you want more solitude because, you know, sitting here with others is a bit too difficult for you, or it's just too noisy, or the person next to you is always sort of fidgeting, then take your cushion to your room and sit there. Sit in silence, sit in solitude. But if you need a rest at any time of the day, just lay down on your right side, as the Buddha did, as you've seen in the in the statues, and just mindfully just rest. And when you wake up, just get up and carry on walking or sitting. So this is how you work with the body and work with the mind. Don't have some sort of great plans right at the moment. This evening I'm going to sit meditation to midnight, and then I'm going to get up at 1 a.m. I'm going to do that for 9 days. Enlightenment or bust, this is it. Don't try doing things like that, because you'll find that such intense will is only coming from the ego, from the illusion of self. And if it's coming from the illusion of self, from me, from mine, it will never gain the deep meditation, will never gain the insights of enlightenment. We have to go against that, against the stream. The way we do that is just by resting gently, getting into the beautiful stillness of the body and the mind. This is why the way of meditation is a way of letting go. Letting go of craving, letting go of wanting something over there. Instead, building up contentment in the moment. Contentment in the moment. Contentment in the moment. Contentment in the moment. You'll never find jhana on the next breath. You'll only find jhana in this breath. You'll never find enlightenment in the moment which has just passed. You'll only find it right now. So don't go searching, even in the next moment, for something. Don't go lingering on the moment which has just passed. But just dwell in the present moment as much as you can. And in that present moment, build up the sense of contentment. The sense of contentment means that you value and appreciate this moment we call now. Instead of just rushing off for the elusive something else or something more, it is staying in the moment, staying with now, staying in the present, appreciating the present, growing to feel at ease with the present, building up joy in the present, until the present moment becomes so blissful you can't move anywhere else. You're just now. The rest of your life, when you're out there in the world, you have to plan, you have to do, you have to make. In this meditation retreat, you don't have to do anything. Don't do, but undo. It's the doer which creates samsara, which creates the suffering. If you can undo the doer by just letting all of this thing we call will, choice, doing, manipulating, controlling, you can just allow that just to disappear, just to fade away by not following it. You know what I mean by the doer? That orderer inside, the controller, the boss, inside your mind. And very often you can hear the words of that boss always telling you what to do, criticizing, making all that noise inside your head. That's the doer. Quieting that doer down until you're just sitting here, not doing anything, not trying to force the mind into meditation, just being mindful in the present moment and not doing anything, building up that stillness. Because the doer is what agitates the mind, creates restlessness and stops you being still. By overcoming that doer, noticing it, not following it, but calming it down until you're not doing anything, you're just knowing. It becomes like a car which has stopped. And a car which has stopped is a car which is at peace. Not going forward, not going backwards, not going anywhere. You're not even trying to stay still. Not trying to do anything, you just hear, that's all. This is where you start to appreciate the beauty of Dhamma. It's one of the problems with meditators, they control too much. Too much controlling, too much doing. That is why people don't enjoy the meditation and they don't get depth in their meditation. Be careful of that doer. Just sit here, sit on your stool, don't do anything. Be in the moment. And just watch everything calm down. Just watch everything start to become peaceful. When no one's pushing you around, you stay still, because that's the very nature of the mind. So you're beginning to understand just how to meditate here. There's obviously much more which I'm going to say about meditation, because that's what this retreat is all about. Gradually encouraging, leaning, inclining towards the peaceful states of mind. Take your time, be gentle. Allow this meditation retreat just to bite. There'll be some meditations which you find are difficult, but bear with it. Because many difficult meditations eventually become the beautiful meditation. Many of you have read that little booklet which I put together about the basic method of meditation. And the simile which I gave there should always be borne in mind during this retreat. The simile of the person who goes to work on a Monday, who works very hard all day, but at the end of the day gets nothing from all the work. The next day they work even harder. They work all day, and the end of the day on Tuesday, again they get nothing. And they wonder what they're doing this for. Next day, Wednesday, they work very hard and still get no payment. And sometimes they get frustrated and they get disillusioned. But maybe they have enough faith to go to work on Thursday, but it happens again. Very often people on Thursday evening, they think, what's the point of working? And they just leave, they don't try anymore. If only they could stay one more day. Because they work just as hard on Friday. But after Friday, the boss comes up and gives you a big paycheck. And you think, why can't every day be Friday? Why does he pay me on Friday but not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? That simile means there will be many meditations you don't get a paycheck. And then one meditation comes along, and wow, this is good. Why can't every meditation just be like that one? If you know meditation very well, you know that that good meditation depended upon all the so-called difficult meditations that went before. And the difficult meditations before, you were doing the work, building up the energy, building up the steam, building up the supportive conditions. Just like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're doing the work which makes the paycheck appear so good, so fat. And you can't just work on Friday and expect so much money. You can't just expect every meditation to be so good. You have to work for those good meditations, to bear with the difficult ones, because those difficult ones aren't wasted. my first meditation teacher, a very wise teacher, he told me, and I always remember this because it sounded so strange, that there is no such thing as a bad meditation. No such thing at all. It's just some meditations you just work, and other meditations you get paid. So work, and the payment will come, that I guarantee. So this is some encouragement for you during this retreat. It's 9 days long, so don't expect to get enlightened this evening. Many more days yet to get these beautiful states of mind. Go gently, go consistently, just like that great monk I was just talking about. Walk a lot, sit a lot, but don't talk at all. Okay, are there any questions about what I've just been talking about during for the basic rules of this retreat? So, you all know what to do? Off you go ahead and do it. And if you want to just to go and have a rest, just have a rest. If you want to carry on meditating, carry on meditating. But whatever you do, keep silent.